We are in a season of change. Like it or not, I love summertime, but guess what? It's going to be fall. Whether I like it or whether I don't, that's what's going to happen. And after fall, for all of us that aren't real fond of cold weather, it's going to be winter. And then everybody will probably get real excited about spring, but do you know there are some people that like winter? And so we like certain things. And one of the reasons we love Missouri is because we get the four seasons, right? And so we have our pick. We all have our pick. But it's the same thing when God is doing something. We have our rathers, right? We all have our rathers. But we are living as a nation and the world and the church. We are living in a season of change. And we can all agree that there's been a shift. Can you see it? Can you feel it? It's real, isn't it? I'm glad that we all can agree on that. I believe that what is going on in the natural world, and we all see that something is very evidently changing in the natural around us. And what this means, I believe, is there's a shift in the spiritual realm. As it is in the natural, so is it in the spiritual realm. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you today that our eyes, we have our spiritual glasses on today. Father, we have our hearing aids of the Spirit turned up today because we want to hear and see what you're talking to us about. And Father, I pray that the word will go forth because it's your word. I'm only a vessel. I pray it'll go forth in the power and might of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Charlie Kirk's assassination occurred, we already knew some things, right? We knew there was a shift. We knew there was a change that had happened. We've been talking about it. You know, everybody been talking about it and begin to understand that something was happening in the spiritual realm. And as a church, we've been praying together in the last 3 to 4 years more than we ever have in almost 50 years of ministry here. We have prayed more and more together. And I believe that people are praying at home more than they ever have before. I believe people are opening the Word of God more than they ever have before. I believe that shift is pushing God's people into the reality of His Word, because there is all across our nation, people are so aware right now of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You know, they're bringing the Bible back into the schools. God is having His say right now. So what are we going to say as His ambassadors, as His vessels? What are we going to say? Well, I believe that as we've been praying together, believing God, we've been praying for a revival at this church, a personal revival. First of all, we all need that personal environment. Revival. The more I seek Him, the more I find Him. And the more I find Him, the more that I love Him. So He says, seek me and you shall find me. And He even says, if you'll just knock it and you'll begin to say, what do we knock with? We knock with the Word of God, because God, this is what your Word says. And we knock with the Word of God, and that will open up revelation to us about God's intentions. And so it's been really what we did not know. We knew there was a shift. We knew there was a change before Charlie was assassinated. But what we did not know, we didn't know this, was that the martyrdom of Charlie was going to happen. Now, there may have been some prophetic words that we didn't know about, but I don't believe that people necessarily knew that he was going to be murdered. I don't believe that Charlie knew that he was going to be murdered on that morning. I don't believe that his wife knew that. They knew something was happening. They knew there was a shift going on. And we know that there is a shift going on, because we see the natural world. We see the hate that's going on. We see the roots, the seeds that are so bitter and so hateful. We see that. We see the reactions of that. But also, we see a humbleness of the spirit begin to come to the body of Christ. We didn't know that it was going to happen so that the whole world could see. The whole world. I mean, there are people in many, many nations that saw what happened. It shook them to the core, as it should have. It should have shaken all of us to the core. Because it was attack on us. It was attack on you, a Christian. It was attack on every one of us because the enemy doesn't like us. He never has. He never will. And we don't need his favor to progress. We don't need that. But God said, I'll take what the enemy meant for bad and I'm going to use it for my good. Because now, in the United States, because we live here, but in many more countries than that, people are speaking up. People are beginning to voice that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Savior. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I'm going to speak it out. I've never seen so many young people in my life that are so excited about Jesus, and they are not intimidated. They are speaking, our 20s and 30s and 40-year-old men, too. I'm so proud of the men of that generation, that what they're doing and standing up. If Charlie Kirk can speak the word of God unashamedly and boldly, then surely we can do it, too. But I'm so thankful. And the last couple of weeks, Pastor's been speaking on the law of surrender. It's one thing to say, I surrender all. And God, what I surrender, I'll surrender you what I choose to surrender. But when we say, the law of surrender means that there is a law to get what we know that God's got for us. There's a law of surrender that has to happen in our life. And then there's that law of fairness. Because God doesn't care how many times I tell him it wasn't fair. He just says, do you love me enough even when it's not fair to still proclaim my name? There was nothing fair about Charlie Kirk dying to his family. There was nothing fair about that. Absolutely nothing. But his death revealed and was revealing evil work, that the powers of darkness are being uncovered for all to see. It's blatant. It's in front of our eyes. We see it. We see the hatefulness. We see the meanness. We see the inability to see anything but a vision that is so askew, a vision that is so off. It doesn't line up with the word of God at all. And so the powers of darkness are being uncovered for all to see if we choose to accept. The Apostle Paul, he communicates to us that God sent Jesus through his life and resurrection so that all could be saved. The great apostle Paul says this, and we're going to read quite a bit of scripture today. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. I'm so glad for the word of God, aren't you? Our examples. Though I formerly blasphemed, notice he says, I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and was shamefully and outrageously and aggressively insulting to him. Nevertheless, I obtained mercy because I had acted out of ignorance in unbelief. And the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out superabundantly and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance. The Lord Christ Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the utmost. He understood. He saw. Paul saw the miracle of the grace of God. We all should see the miracle of the grace of God in our life. But I obtained mercy for the reasons that in me, as the foremost of sinners, he claimed to be the chief sinner, you know, because he knew that his sin against God was grievous. Jesus Christ might show forth and display all his perfect long-suffering and patience for an example, to encourage those who would thereafter believe on him for the gaining of eternal life. Paul recognized the great gift. So see, in the season of change, we have anticipated and talked about has now come. Isn't that interesting? We've prayed for it. We've asked for it. And it has come. Are we ready to accept what is here now? It's going to be our love for Christ that's going to see us through the most difficult times. We are seeing disruptive revelations that are bringing shocking truth to the media. Some of the media, they're going to shut down if they don't get it right. That's just the way it is. If they can't proclaim Jesus loudly on their stations and on their platforms, they're going to get shut down. And we see how disruptive to the government, but most of all to the Church of Jesus Christ. Can you believe that last Sunday worshipers went to worship in may not have been our faith, but they had the freedom of worship. Didn't walk into the church, but drove to the back of it with a vehicle and rammed into it. And then the people knew what the exits were supposed to be to get out. Not only did he just ram into it, he threw those gasoline cocktails, whatever you call them, he threw those to start a fire. And then as people were going out the exits, then he shot. See, the enemy has a strategy plan. What's the strategy plan of the Church of Jesus Christ? Charlie Kirk, when he went out that morning, full of the Holy Spirit, he said, God, I surrender all. This is what you called me to do. This is what you said, so I'm going to do it. Do you think it was easy every day? I mean, I know he was gifted for that. He was talented for that. But it wasn't easy to sit out there. But God gave him exactly what he needed, to be patient, to listen to those that were slaughtering the gospel, that were accusing about things they knew not of, those that would stand up and make comments and try their very best to preach it as gospel. And God gave him such wisdom and such insight. See, God's not going to call you to anything that he won't equip you if you're willing to be equipped. Don't ask me to say that one again. But we must remember that the prophecies or predictions which were made by the apostles, they were the special messengers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, verse 18 and 19. And this is so good. They told you beforehand in the last days, in the end times. We get to live in the last days, amen? There will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing division, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. But you, beloved, build yourself, founded on your most holy faith. Church of Jesus Christ, what have we been doing? You've been getting into the Word. You're digging into the Word. You're reading it on a regular basis. You're asking God to reveal His Word to you. You're praying. You're crying out, like Pastor said. You're crying out, and He hears us immediately. If you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be confident that He hears you when you pray, because we have an audience with Him. That's what the Word of God says. I love it when I get in my closet and it's just me and God, because I've got an audience with Him. I know that He hears me when I pray. He hears you when you pray. Make progress. We're making progress. ride like an Ephesus higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard, keep yourself in the love of God. Now, it's not easy, is it? But you got to guard. We got to guard ourselves. We have to make sure that our hearts stay right and pure before God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you into life eternal, and refute so as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver and doubt. Verse 23, strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present yourself unblemished, blameless, faultless before the presence of his glory. We are to present ourselves. That's why when we come in on Sunday morning and worship service starts, do you know how hard it is to keep focused? And you will say, yes, I do. It's very hard because my mind goes a lot of different ways. We all do. But when we can come into the house of the Lord and we can have the attitude, this is Sunday morning. I am here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am here to give glory, to give praise to the one that purchased me, the one that loves me just like I am. I am here to give him glory. Now, mind, pull yourself together and get your mind on the one who has saved you and redeemed you. When we do that, when we begin to do that, that's when his presence will cause joyful triumph in our life. This version says, with unspeakable, ecstatic delight. That's why when we come in, we should have radical praise and worship. Because why? Because we're delighting in the delighter. We're delighting in the one that created us. We're delighting in the one who gave us our breath. We are ecstatic about the fact that we get to stand in his presence and we get to worship him and we get to thank him for who he is. And we begin to seek him. And as we seek him and we sing songs, we begin to see him drawing near to us as we're drawing near to him. That's why we come into the house of God. To the one, only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory. He's majestic. Might and dominion and power and authority before all time and now forever. In all the ages of eternity. Amen. So be it. Amen. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. See, I believe the seasons has changed. This is what I think has changed. We cannot come into the house of the Lord disconnected. If we really want the presence of God in our life, we can't come into on a Sunday morning and allow our minds, and our mind is a devil's playground unless we bring our thoughts into captivity. Pull down everything that tries to exalt itself. My mind's not trying to exalt itself. Yes, it is if you're in a praise and worship service. And all you can think about is what you don't like or what's bothering you or the hurts of the week or the what you got to do tomorrow or after church. Either way, it's exalting. That thought is exalting itself above Almighty God. So when we get ready to go to the house of the Lord, we begin to say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Because I'm going to praise the Lord with all that is within me. We have to talk to ourselves so that we won't miss out on what God is doing. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. No longer can we sit by with our heads in the sand and pretend that we're exempt from God's season of change. May I say this to you? Sometimes God asks us to change to see how we will react. How we respond. I like things just the way they are. I like my box. I like the way I think. I like the way it is. So God, sometimes he'll do things just to see how we react to it. Sometimes I fail. But I want him to keep stirring my heart to the place that I surrender all. The law of surrender and the law of fairness. Because he's fair and he's just. And he will always be that way with us. Always. And we need to remember that because we're wanting somebody else to justify it. Do we understand that Charlie's death set into motion a movement of revival? So, solid rock, you don't have any reason not to be happy. You don't have any reason to come in with your grievances. You have no reason to be upset with somebody on this side or that side or in the middle. No, the middle. I know you're never upset with them. It's only those outward ones. No, I'm just kidding. Something happened. We may not like change, but if we're going to be in the flow of revival, we have to be willing to let God do. I believe that the movement of revival that is, and I believe it's going to shake the nations of the world. We haven't seen anything yet. People are just getting bold. And the more bolder they get, the more souls that are being saved right now. People that didn't read the Word of God. People that didn't even have a Bible. They're going and buying a Bible. People that never listened to a podcast or listened to a preacher or never went to church. All of a sudden, they're beginning to realize, if I don't change my life, I'm in trouble. Because, see, God allowed this to happen so the whole world could see. And we need to understand who our enemy is. It's the powers of darkness. The rulers of the fallen world. If we're spiritually dead and we don't have our spiritual glasses on to the will of God and what God is doing, we're going to sit on the sidelines. And we're going to miss what we were praying for. Because we can take the grumpy chair and sit right over there and grump all we want. But we will not be in the move of what God is doing, wants to do in our lives personally. Because he said, you prayed for it. We've been praying for it, solid rock. I don't want to miss it. Amen. You and I, we are his missionaries, we are his evangelists, not just because we're going overseas. We are all called to his call, to his purpose for our life. And we know that we're living in a time, but this is something to get excited about because I'm telling you, the cover is coming off. When evil has become normalized and righteousness is mocked. But he will have the last word. So we're not waiting for the last days. We're living in the last days. I don't know the time factor. I just know that God says it's a new season. It's a new day. And he said that which you have prayed for, that which you have fasted for, that which you have believed God for, it's here. But you keep complaining and not seeing, you will not get it. In the last days, don't turn to this, but you can write it down, 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This is what Paul is speaking and saying. People will be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be conceited. People will be covetous. People will be boasters. People will be proud. People will be blasphemers. People will be unthankful. People will be unholy. People will be out without natural affection. They will be uncompassionate, truth breakers, false accusers. People will be lacking self-control. People will be fierce. People will be despisers of those who are good. People will be traitors. They'll be fake. They'll tell a lie as a truth. They will be heady, which means they're going to be reckless. Going to be high-minded, thinking more of themselves than we should. Be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God's not against pleasures, but he says, when you put that before me, anything that we put before God, and we are our biggest enemy. When we are self-absorbed, you can see, ask yourself, what do I think about most? What consumes my time? Are we more self-absorbed than we are in reaching other people that are hurting and dying in this world? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, denying the power of God. People will be led away with diverse lust. People will be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's what the Word of God says that will happen in the last days. Can you see some of it? Have you heard any of that? Have you looked around and you're like, oh, it's been, church, it's been so blatant over the last few years, so blatant. And the church almost was paralyzed. But God said, I'm going to use a young man. I'm going to use a young man that has been speaking the truth in love. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to send a revival. Isn't that awesome? For the one that can see, the one that can hear, and the one that will be a doer, God's new strategies are going to come in dreams. They're going to come through prayer. That's why prayer times are so important, because God will speak. Our prayer times together are ordained of God, because we hold each other up. We hold the church up, our communities up. We pray together. There's such strength. The thing that's preached about more than anything and done less is prayer. But Solid Rock, we have been trying our best through the last few years to change it. God is bringing understanding to things that were mysteries to those who sit in his presence. Are there things that we don't know that God will just reveal just like that? When we get into his presence, we get into his words, we get in that quiet time with him, he will begin to reveal himself some mysteries that we knew not of. Because we don't understand sometimes what's going on. True? Don't have a clue. God, I don't understand that. That don't make sense. It's not fair. Law of fairness. Huh? Yeah, but I am. The old order. What's the old order? The old order is the way we were. It's quickly passing away. And a new generation is arising. This new army. You ought to get excited when you hear it on the news. I'm telling you what, there are anchors that are getting saved. There are cameramen and women that are getting saved. Sometimes we stick our head and say, oh, I'm not going to watch news. I'm not going to. Well, don't go to one that's crazy. Go to one that will talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that they are not afraid. And they are speaking the truth of the Word of God. Not perfect people, but speaking the truth of the Word of God. Find out what's going on. Some of you need to go back and listen to a podcast of Charlie Kirk and see what was he saying. Some have never listened to him. You need to. Our young people, our Max, he loves Charlie Kirk, and he listens, and we listen, and find that Word of God that comes out of that young man's mouth is absolutely amazing. This new army belongs to God. Can't you hear Erica Kirk saying this young man had no idea what he unleashed? That was such a powerful statement. He had no idea. The enemy used a blinded young man as his tool. It's sad. But there's a whole lot of them in the same position as the young man. They have so much hate in their lives. And they're so skewed by what the devil has been feeding into them. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be ashamed. We will not be quiet. We will say what the Word of God says. I thank you for young people, oh God, that will get up and they will say what you say and not allow the enemy to hold them back, because God, you've got their future in your hands and you have a word for them to speak. And they're going to speak it without reservation. Jesus offers forgiveness. That's what Erica's words were doing. Forgiveness opens up a freedom. Don't let your children walk in unforgiveness. Don't walk in unforgiveness. Don't do it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any unforgiveness in our hearts, because it will stop the revival God wants to do in our lives. She opened up freedom to a person that was wrong. And you know what? Charlie would want that young man to be saved. He would want that young man to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will have to pay for that which he did. But oh, wouldn't it be such a testimony? Because she offered forgiveness. She chose to forgive. It set her free and it set him free. If you are unforgiving in your heart, you're the one in bondage. And Jesus wants us to walk in freedom. And we'll never walk in freedom if we have any little thing against anybody. The Word of God tells us we have to guard our hearts. Okay, I'm moving right along. I promise, young people, I'm not going to take too much of your time today. I thank God for our youth that are here today. I know a lot of them are out and gone, but I thank God for our young men and women. I'm so proud of them. God is raising up strong, fiery servants with the Word of God, because he is going to accelerate. There's going to be, things are going to move so fast. Do you feel like things are moving fast? Well, I believe in the spiritual realm, that in the heavenlies, there are things that's being turned around. Things are moving out of the way. Paths are being cleared that seem to be blocked. I tell you what, God's army is going to march right on through. We're going to see the glory of God like we've never seen it before. We're going to see the equipment of the Holy Spirit like we've never possessed before. God is going to use those that say, I surrender all. And God, I mean all. Because I know I have my likes. I know the things that I really, the way I want it, but God, I want what you have. And if I am still in my own heart, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a right spirit, a right attitude, oh God, so that I won't sin against you, so that I won't have wrong attitudes. That's what I want, oh God, in my heart. He wants to use us to bring back his ways of holiness and passionate love. He's a holy God, but he is passionate in his love for humanity. The season of change has come. This is our time to love him with all of our heart and all of our passion. I know that we've heard it before, but Holy Spirit is declaring this again today. And we will never be the same, because he's placed his hands upon us. Those that, when they sing, Lord, I seek you. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at our hearts. The more I seek you, the more I find you. I find out something new. I read your word and revelation's coming. I'm seeing things in a way I didn't see it before. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Oh my goodness, I can't get enough of your word, because you're so real. See, the world is looking for real. That young man that shot Charlie Kirk was looking for something real. He had anger in his heart, so he thought he was going to take out something that would make everybody happy that he did it. But God says, uh-uh. Well, the enemy, and it was the enemy that had spoken to that young man. He opened the doors. That's why we say, young people, be careful. Young men, young women, middle age, be careful. Seniors, be careful what we open ourselves up for, because the enemy will take root, and in our hearts it will become impure and unclean because we've allowed things. But the Holy Spirit's saying today, you'll never be the same again, for I place my hand upon my church and upon my people. That's what happened when Charlie Kirk was killed in front of the world. God says, I'm putting my hand back on my church and the world's going to know about my church. He's doing it. I'm telling you, he's doing it. This is a wooing of the Holy Spirit to us today. So listen carefully. This is Song of Songs, 2:10 through 13, out of translation, or the Passion Translation. The one I love calls me. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. It's Song of Song. Did you find it? I know some of you are looking. But if not, you can read it later. This is the Passion Translation. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. Any barren ones? Anybody feeling here that you've been in a winter season and it's so barren that you... We've all been there. And the season of hiding is over and gone. Isn't that good news? Come on, I'm gonna read a little bit of this again. This is powerful. Come on, church. God is saying the season has changed. What are we going to do with it? The one I love calls to me. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart. What did we say? The more I seek him, the more I find him. Not only do I need you, Lord, I want you, Lord. For now's the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. The season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land. Doves is a representation of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, what ascended upon him? A dove. Well, the Word of God is telling us today the cooing, the wooing of the Holy Spirit in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken us and guide us forth. Wow. Can you not discern? Can you not discern this new day of destiny? Breaking forth around you. Yeah, we all say, yeah, something's going on. How about we just get in the middle of it? How about we just hook up with him? How about we say, Jesus, use me? I'll just say, yes, Lord, whatever it is. The early signs of purpose and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that excites you, but I'm so excited by his word. The fragrance of their flower whispers. There's change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. What an invitation by the Spirit of the living God. Ah, go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you. What a word that he's speaking to his people today. Paying attention to his words, our dreams, what we hear is a big deal to God. As we prepare our hearts for what it feels like an impending revival. Well, we know that also with that impending revival, there's trial. And what we hear and what we see will be manna for the days ahead. God takes care of his people. He's already got it. It's not ours to worry about. Our part is to get closer and closer to him and to listen. Proverbs 4:20 through 27, Passion Translation. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you. Pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. What a promise that he makes to his people. So above all, this passage of scripture says, above all, guard the affections of your heart. Guard the thoughts of your heart. Pull down what is not of God, for they affect all that you are. We are a product today of our thoughts that we have allowed to go into action. But God is saying, when my word is in your heart and you begin to do, I am fueling the revival in and through you. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Our words, I tell you what, our thoughts become words, and our words have been used and turned on us. Now, because the season has changed, those words that we spoke before, we are now going to say what the word of God says, and we're going to turn it back on the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that it can change your child's life by what you begin to say to them, and how when they're speaking negative, you can begin to say what the word of God says, and when they begin, before they know it, they're going to be saying what the word of God says. Because some of them feel they have no worth, but you begin to say what God says about them, it's going to change them. Why do you think that upstairs in our children's church and in our teens and down in the lower ones down here, is because they are speaking the word of God over them. They are giving them the word that shows them that God has a purpose for their lives. Well, it's the same word that we all need to say over our marriages. It's the same words we need to say over our children, over our church, over our city, over our lives. God says, I want you to use your mouth about me now. We've done all the others, so it's a new season. Smack yourself when you say something negative about somebody else. Smack yourself. Because you know what's happened? We have become very hard, critical people. Unforgiving. We were that. We're trying our best. We're going to change it. Avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth. Don't allow yourself, it comes back on us, don't allow yourself to be sidetracked even for a moment or take a detour that leads to darkness. Do you know why some people do what they do? Because they took a detour. They took a detour in their mind. They didn't pull down those strongholds that were holding them captive. But God says, it's a new day. It's a new day. Paying attention isn't passive. It's not sitting back waiting for skywriting. You know what skywriting is? It's looking up. Have you ever laid on your back and look up the clouds? Aren't you amazed what you can see up there? Do you know that some people can get a whole prophecy out laying on their back? See, that's not action. God says, take my word and let my word work in and through you. So we're not passive. It's leaning forward, cultivating a heart that learns to listen to the voice of God. Because it wasn't in the thunder. It wasn't in the lightning. It wasn't in all the things. It was in that small, still voice. And he still speaks like that because he wants us to shut up long enough so we can hear him. We got to quit being motor mouse. And as long as we talk all the time, we'll never hear him speak, because he can speak just like that to us that will change our life, because we hear him. The more I seek him, the more I love him. Okay. It's taking the small, ordinary nudges of the Spirit seriously. When he nudges us, we know, because we spent time in his presence. I want to say this, and I'm going to have the worship team come up in just a moment. Give me a, you can get ready and come on whenever you want. Just don't pay attention to them. Listen to what I have to say, because I believe that this is life-changing. See, small, ordinary nudges, the little things of the Spirit, let's take them seriously, because those are seeds for our breakthrough. The seeds of our breakthrough. When God will impress upon your spirit. And I don't know about you, I really like to fix things and people, and God tells me to shut up and get my hands off of them. But when we can learn that when we've prayed over a situation, that we can trust God with our children, our grandchildren, we can trust God with those that are seem so rebellious, we can trust him. Because we've heard the small, still voice that says, "Weep no more. I will bring your children back to the border of the God that you serve. I'll bring them back." You pray over him, you planted the seed. That husband, that wife, God knows how. If we'll just get ourselves calmed down. We all, yeah, calm down. That was the last message I preached, wasn't it? We all, yeah, and right after that was when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. See, God wants us to calm down. Do you know how many things we've had since I preached that message that didn't make me feel calm at all? I'm just honest. I mean, really? Really, God? But there's something in the spirit realm, something on the innermost being that knows that sometimes we have to labor into rest, but I will not stop on my face and with a humble heart until I've gotten to that place of rest. It's there. It's ours. Do you remember Samuel? Worship team, come on up quietly. We all remember Samuel as a young boy. He was confused by the voice in the night. See, the reason I want to share this with you, because God's going to begin to speak to all of you that has an ear to hear. God's going to speak some things. This message today was not by accident. I did not want to preach today. I did not. And Daryl will tell you that. I said, "Daryl, I'm drained. I'm just drained." He said, "Darling, you need to preach. So preach." And I didn't even have a message fixed. But I thank God for my man that covers me, that knows me. He knows I love God with all of my heart. And he knows I push him. So see, God knew who exactly was going to be here. Samuel, as a young man, he was confused. Until Eli helped him. I'm helping you today. I'm helping you today. I'm helping us today. Because he said, when you hear that voice again, when you hear that voice again, there again, I said, we don't want change because we like our box we're in. God says, you stay in your box if you want. I know you love me, but you're missing the greatest days of your life. When you hear the voice again, say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God is speaking in dreams. He's speaking in conversations. He's speaking in the quiet voice of all of our little children that are running around here. And he's really speaking in the pages of the scripture. It's an honor to say yes, to notice, to guard what he entrusts in us. What an honor it is to serve Almighty God. Life changes, seasons change, some go quickly. See, this season that we're in right now, this didn't come quickly. God's been at work for a long time, and I know the enemy has been also. The enemy was given a lot of ground that he never should have been given, never ever should have been given. But hopefully we learn some lessons by those things. We learned what not to allow, what not to do. There's other things that move slowly, like the growth of a new fruit tree awaiting for the juicy harvest, or the healing of our hearts after traumas of our life. That takes a while. But he's still moving. The season is changing. Either way, I believe it's holy ground. I believe it's that place where God works on us from the inside out. There's a lot of times we have stubborn wills. And I want to say this to everybody that can hear me. Can you all hear what I'm saying up here? We have stubborn wills. And we like what we like. And God says, I'm going to take it out from under you because you're leaning on it instead of leaning on me. And I said this earlier, and I mean it. I believe it with all of my heart, that sometimes God will put us in change situations or offer us change to see if we're going to pitch a fit or not. That's not the way I want to do it. That's not the way I like to do it. God said, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you. I might have told a leader. And that's another thing. And I hope you all know my heart. I was not going to go here this morning. But we have a staff. We have people that work very close. We have Sister Sarah, who's over all of our student ministries. Do you know how painful it is to me when somebody comes against her? And you think, who would come against Sarah? Well, anybody serving God's going to be come against. Do you know how painful that is when she tells somebody something they don't listen because they like their idea better? Do I need to go any further or stop with that? How about you like your way, you know, if Missy, she tells you a certain way she wants the coffee shop to operate, or she wants the kitchen to operate, or any of our staff, and you slough them off because, oh, I've been doing this. They're just telling me what to do. They represent us. Daryl and I are going to stand accountable for this church. I don't take that lightly. Well, please don't disrespect those we put in charge over different areas. Don't be, you know, if Krista tells you something and you don't like it, God says, I want to give you an attitude adjustment. I want to give you an attitude adjustment because something's wrong here. Do you know why Lucifer fell? Because pride and arrogance, I want to do it my way and I'm just as good. I know how to do it. It doesn't matter how much you know more than Pastor and I or Lou or Tiffany or Christy and Luke or Nick and Sarah, Dwayne and Missy, Carissa, Alex and Dara. Don't disrespect them by sassing them back or ignoring what they told you to do. Well, I'll just go talk to Pat. Don't they? You know, now if they're wrong, we're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to him in love and put our arms around him. I said, don't do that. No. But please, because rebellion, is there a seed of rebellion? Because I don't like change. And God says, I'm going to put you in some areas. You're going to have change. You're going to have change. He loves us so much. He only does that for our own good. I believe we're entering into a day when people are, God will mark, not by titles or platforms, but their attentiveness to his word. And I believe there's going to be those that know how to pause, how to discern and obey. There's going to be those sitting here that aren't going to push past the dream, but they're going to listen to what God's saying to them because it has good stuff in it for you. Hold it, pray over it, walk it out. Some things are quick, some things are slower. But when God speaks and puts a dream in your heart, speak life over it. Because this is how revival will take root in us. Not through our busyness, but through attentiveness. Not through striving, but through surrender. And learning how to rest in the Lord. God is speaking. Are we listening? The Holy Spirit today is inviting all of us to pay attention. Stand to your feet. Is there a, when I said dream, is there a dream inside of you? Is there something that just don't want to let go of you? Thoughts. I'm not saying you had to dream it while you were sleeping. You may have. But I'm saying, is there a dream or something in there that just won't let you go? An impression that you've just dismissed as random. How about a verse of scripture that just keeps resurfacing over and over into your life? How about a conversation that something deeper than words begins to turn over inside of you? How about a child that has said something that, interesting. Because out of the mouth of babes can become the word of the Lord. Pay attention. Write it down. Pray it through. Act on it, even if it's small. Because God's kingdom, in God's kingdom, the little things are very weighty. And they bring eternal things for our life. Proverbs 4:23 says, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for there's where the issues of life come out. The more his life in this world that we're living in right now, the more that we stay tentative to what he's saying, the more we'll be shaped by his voice. He's going to use it. Remember when Paul spoke to Paul in a supernatural vision, and he told him, don't be afraid. Paul, don't be afraid. It's in Acts chapter 18. You can find it sometime. Don't be afraid. Speak the words that I give you. See, God's going to do that in some lives. You're going to have to be bold and step out in some areas. And he's going to say to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But don't say anything except what I tell you. That's why we can get just a little bit of unction, and if we're not careful, we'll say something that God didn't want us to say. But let's find out what it is. Speak words that I give you. Don't be intimidated, Paul, because I'm with you, for there are many in this city that I call my own. See, there's more for you than against you. I'm going to leave a scripture with you and in my closing right now. But this is something that has got me and pushed me forward so many times because he was whispering to me. He was speaking to me. Isaiah 41, and you've all heard me say this, I'm sure, 10 through 13. Fear not, there is nothing to fear. I'm with you. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I am your God. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. One of the things that when we get hold of a scripture, I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. I tell you what happened to Charlie Kirk, his wife, had to have been hardened to difficulties. She had to have been hardened to hard things of life because she responded immediately to us. Behold, all who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Talk about the powers of darkness. That enemy, that thing that has tormented you, when you get out of fear, God says you don't have to worry about it. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Father who says to you, fear not, I will help you. Charlie and Erica were called to be fearless and not be intimidated by the darkness of this world. And I say to you today, we have been called to not be in fear and not to be intimidated by the God of this world. Remember, you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in wicked places. It's so easy for us to get our eyes on individuals. There's not a person in here. All of us are imperfect. But His Word is perfect. And His Word is true. Charlie's goal was to help bring revival to the nation. You and I are called to do the same. Church, the season has changed. And you know what? I believe so have we. We're changing more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in His mission. No longer Solid Rock. No longer call you everyone by name, whatever your name is. No longer can we sit on the sidelines. We've got to be obedient and receptive to the Word of God. Father, I thank you for this word today. Thank you for your word. I thank you that, God, you always want to speak to us. And I pray that your voice today speaks to every hungry heart. If you're in the house today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just step boldly. The time is over when we're no more hiding. No more hiding. Just stick your hand up real quick. You know, no, don't do that. I'm just saying that's what we like to do. Put your hand up. I won't embarrass you by coming down. We've all said that. But it's not embarrassing you. It's making a proclamation that boldly says, I'm in the house today, and I've heard the word of God, and I want God to change my heart. I want to live for Him. I will not sit in my stuff anymore. I will not believe what the enemy has told me. If you're in this house today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you knew Him, but you know you've got cold and indifferent, and if what is going on in the world today has shaken you to the core, what Jesus is doing, and you want to say yes, I just say, come on up. If you don't know Jesus, but today, or you've gotten cold, I pray that you will come on up as they begin to sing, they begin to worship. Would you stand up? Would you come out of your seat? And would you come up and say, I want to be exactly what God wants me to be.
I believe there's some in here today.